Welcome to BFN Radio, where we are keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this wonderful day is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And joining us in just a few is the one, the only one, who's living on the edge. On the edge of the precipice of the Wilkerson moment. Who's not smiling at me this morning? John Ramos. We have so many wonderful things to share with you. I wish we had more time to do it. If you missed it, you've got to catch yesterday's program, just packed with good responses to what this day and this age that we're in. Women are stepping up and doing great things for God in the midst of great persecution. Even in the midst of Hitler's reign, there was men who saw and heard and knew. And what's so cool is right straight from Harlem is where God began to do an awesome move of God in Germany. It was a powerful, powerful thing. Today we're going to be talking about the tribes of Jacob, the family of Jacob, the Asher tribe. Why? Because my grandson was born yesterday. Asher. Also, in regards to the murder charges being dropped by the Pennsylvania abortion doctor there, it's amazing. I can't believe these things have been dropped. And the stock market dropping. Everything's dropping, it looks like. Also, we're going to be talking about a shift that has taken place in the earth. I know the shift's taking place in America. The shift's taking place inside of me. The question I have, I guess, today is the shift taking place in you? There's a shift that's taking place. We have to pay attention. It's not as it used to be when the shift took place. Hopefully today we get a chance to continue the interview about the Malachi prophecies by Sid Roth. Gripping. Gripping is all I can say. In addition, we're going to have a young man by the name of Cooper sharing his personal experience about what he's reading in his Bible, and it just brings alive for us to think about, you know, we're in those days. We're in those age right now. Right now, we are in that age. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And just a few, John Ramos. Well, here we are, man. Now, what a wonderful, wonderful, long 48 hours as we were waiting for the birth of my next grandson by my son and Jared. And the Lord, it was amazing. On Monday, on Monday, the Lord, as I was just about to get out of my sleep, you know, and all of a sudden the Lord just said, April 23rd, plain as day, April 23rd. Mm-hmm. And of course it just wouldn't leave me. April 23rd, it was the 22nd. But if you understand the way I think, I do not think chronologically. So I'm thinking this must be a historical
that could
event
have been
here.
Next year for all you know.
Yeah, it's like, I got to look back. I got to study this, you know, what's going on, you know? And so when I get up to spend my time with the Lord, my abiding time, I'm writing in my journal, April 24th, you
23rd.
Know.
23rd.
Yeah, April 23rd.
See?
Which I'm very grateful. And just see, chronological things just really. And with that, you know, I'm just saying, Lord, you know, what, you know, would you reveal to me what are you saying about April 23rd? And so almost right after my abiding time, around 10 a.m. on that morning, which you guys knew because I couldn't be here on the radio, I get a phone call from my son, and very calmly he says, Dad, it's time, right? And so he and Nikki are taken off to the hospital, and that's an adventure in itself when you hear what happened on the road there.
And that was the 22nd, right?
And that was the 22nd.
Yeah.
But God's already told me the 23rd, but I'm still pondering that, you know, pondering the 23rd. And so, and she was going through contractions and all this. And it's so important to look at pregnancy and understand it, because that's how God describes the earth will be doing and the Lord's return, going mm-hmm. through these contractions. It's what John Paul Jackson prophesied about, these contractions taking place in the earth. And if you've never walked through pregnancy or been there with somebody walking through it, you just don't have an understanding of that. You have mm-hmm. to understand they happen whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And what you may perceive as a contraction, you find out when the real contraction hits, like, this is that, you know.
That's right.
And so we're in the hospital and just kind of relaxing, and there's contractions taking place and all those things that happen, and just enjoying our time as family. And all of a sudden the Lord speaks to me that this baby's not coming until April 23rd. And so, you know, several hours later, on the 22nd, you know, is all this wishing and hoping and thinking and all this type of stuff is, because you really want it when you're at that point.
Yeah. You know, it's like, come on now.
Based on what I'm told, you know, now is a really a good time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now's a good time. Mm. And the doctor comes in, boldly comes in to the room, and they have all kinds of electronic equipment today. It's not like the little ticker tape that you used to come out. You're about to go up. It's about to happen. And she stands boldly at the foot of the bed and speaks to everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. She says, let me tell you, this is what's going to happen. She says, you're going to go home. And at midnight, you're going to come back here and you're going to have this baby. Isn't this something?
Wow.
You know, and I already, by that time, I'd already told him, I said, listen, it's the 23rd. It's April 23rd. And that was just it. I mean, God specifically chose the day that you were going to be born. He talks about it in Acts chapter 17. He says that he even chooses the times and the seasons that you would live, and your very address that you would live. And he does all this to see if you would reach out for him. Though he's not far from you. And they named him Asher. Mm-hmm. Asher. And Asher, of course, is one of the names of Jacob's sons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, 12 tribes.
Right. And so, you know, there's two things that happened. First, you know, God spoke to me in the beginning of his life. Hmm. Very, very detailed word in the beginning of his life. You know, we believe life begins at conception, by the way.
That's right.
That's right.
And he spoke to me in the beginning of his life. And spoke a word over Asher. And then even at the time of his birth, he speaks to me, and I can't get away from April 23rd. So God wanted to know that, hey, listen, I'm choosing the day that this child is born. And then he stirs his parents' hearts. They're going to call him Asher, mm-hmm. something they wanted to do. And so it's just this powerful thing. I think about Asher, and, you know, Asher played a role in freeing, you know, Jacob's son, played a role in freeing his brother Joseph from slavery. Think about that. In Genesis 37, chapter 37, verse 23 through 36, he played a role in freeing his brother Joseph from slavery, which is so important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Asher and his four sons and daughters settled in Canaan. The promised land, right?
Right.
And on his deathbed, Jacob blessed Asher by saying that his bread shall be good, or fat. That's what the King James says.
Mm-hmm.
It shall have like royal food, royal dainty type things, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just quality, high quality. Mm-hmm. And Asher was the eighth son of the patriarch Jacob, and the he's what you call the tribe of Asher, tribe of Asher. And when you go to heaven, you're going to see Asher, right? You're going to see one mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. foundation's name, Asher, right?
Right.
And it's like, it's just amazing, you know, how all these things are converging. You know, we talked about convergence last Wednesday, if you haven't heard it yet. And it was just everything is just God's stirring hearts. God is speaking. Quite often, you might not even know it, but the reason why all these suddenlies are taking place in your life is called the mercies of God. And he is adjusting things and he's moving us to places. And yeah, I'm excited about my new grandson. Hmm. I have five grandsons now. Five. I guess I need seven more to have a tribe. You know, the
your quiver is getting full.
Yes, and of course I'm putting Asher in my son-in-law's hand. It's like, doesn't that feel wonderful? Doesn't that feel wonderful? And he was
which son-in-law?
Blake.
Oh yeah.
Blake. And I could see his son in a hot rod now going down the road. He likes working on motors and fast cars that do drag racing. And I was a perfect husband for, he's a perfect husband for Amber because she liked him too. She still does. And God is just, there's a shifting. Y'all remember the shifting that took place? Like in 1 year, there was a suddenly that just came. And God began to just put things in this order. And I'm telling you that we are in a season that you want to listen. I was just thinking, I was listening to, you, John, yesterday on VFN Radio, where you're talking about the timings of God and late obedience.
Mm.
You know, delayed obedience is disobedience.
Yep.
And that's why it's pretty much why the Church of America is in disobedience, because we're going to get to that. You know, we totally get it, but we're going to get to that in our own timing. Then I thought about, you know, this is all the timings of God. I believe Asher is a timing. He's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God's people are about to be freed, like Joseph was freed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I got good news for you. If you're in captivity, and that's a lot of different aspects of that, mm-hmm. you know, where Asher was able to come in and help free his brother, Joseph, from captivity, that, you know, God is about to move. God is about to move. And the timings, I was thinking about this. And this is a good way to look at how foolish not doing what God says in the time he says to do it. I was thinking about football. And I'm being looked at right now. It's a game to play with a pigskin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There are even some there's even some saints that play football.
Yeah, oh, help these guys out because they have to Google up on
that. I got to watch like 400,000 years of football before they believe that I like football. But I just like Jesus more than football, so I got to set that. It has to be consecrated.
Yeah, so do I.
I have to consecrate it. You know. Well, I don't know. We were talking about the who Jesus played on the quarterback.
Are you talking about Romo? That's blasphemy.
Wash me, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
I'm kidding.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, he Googles up over there, so you, I mean, yeah, just I know explain it. It, you know.
Yeah. It's football, not soccer. Football.
Right, right, right.
Foot, yeah.
Anyway, imagine you have two teams. I guess the Saints would be a good team to figure. No, you have two football teams on the field. You have a coach. It's coaching it. But you also have somebody who's over the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
That is the commissioner. Then they're all working together. They have these set rules. You know, this is how you play the game. This is what you do. You don't go around allegedly breaking legs or anything like that. That you...
Saints, jeez.
Yeah, allegedly. Mm-hmm. The... But the coach calls a play. And I don't know, you have, what, 35 men on a team? No, I'm messing with you on the field. I'm joking. You have 12. How many's on the team?
On the field one time.
Obviously.
11 on offense, 11 on defense.
And if you're the Saints, you got an extra guy back in the back. You better listen to Vito. Anyway, so so you have 11 guys on the field, and so you have 22 men that the whole world is watching them collide.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a part to play. If you don't know this, they actually designed a play. The playbook I saw with the Dallas Cowboys, that it was like maybe 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
It was like 4 inches thick. Huge. And they had to memorize every play.
Because, like the old phone books, right?
Yeah, and there's not only a play that you're supposed to play, but there's also a timing, you know, that you don't, if you are waiting, you're in your position in the center, which is the person in the center of the front line, has the ball on the ground, and he's about to toss the ball from between his legs. No, he's about to hike the ball. Just messing with you. Just messing with these guys.
Okay. Right? Oh, goodness.
They just watch football. They think they play it. Anyway, so he's going to hike the ball to the quarterback. Nobody can move until the quarterback decides the ball is going to be height. So he told him, he says, listen, when I grunt or something, you know, give some sort of signal, stomp my leg, as mm-hmm. somebody else would do on the Saints. Then I want you to hike the ball. And if you move before the ball is hiked, the whole world sees you did not move in the right timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're penalized. Mm. It's not because you're not a football player. It's not because you didn't know the playbook. It's not because you didn't know what to do. You just did it at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
You did it at the wrong time. Now imagine everybody moves at the right time when the quarterback, who was the leader of that team on the field, and he's calling the plays that that he hears, and they start. But then you have all 11 players doing what they're supposed to do. But just like the person who went early, you know, one of them's deciding, I'm gonna just do it, you know, 3 seconds later. Another guy says, I'm gonna do it 4 seconds faster. Another one says, I'm just gonna wait till it's all over right now, and then I'm gonna do it.
Mm.
What is that, Saints game? What's going on here? I mean, it's like chaos, isn't it? It's chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's strategic. Just because you know what God says to do, and you're throwing your 2 cents in when you're supposed to do it, you might as well just quit. First of all, you're messing everybody up because you're accurate in saying what God says, but you're rebellious in when you're doing it. And so people may follow you, and it'll be just as chaos. Just as much chaos, just as much confusion. Then Jesus is the quarterback. I mean, that's a bad analogy with that because he's king, he's God, he's Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the one calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And when he just says, go, I don't care how big the guy is in front of you, you know, you go and you do what you're trained to do at the time you're trained to do it. And understand this, that God will give you victory. God is the one that's working this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just imagining then how chaotic a football field would look. It would look like probably the Ice Capades, wouldn't it? It looked like the Ice Capades. Mm-hmm. And that's what American church looks like right now, quite a bit of it. It looks like the Ice Capades because what the church says is right, but everybody's doing it in their own timing. And not everybody, well, everybody's. I'm just saying, you know, there are people that are hearing clearly and they're accurate in what they're saying, but they're terrified about the timing. And they're just waiting for that perfect moment and that perfect place to be able to do what they feel safe about and they feel comfortable about. But by that time, the game is over.
Right.
The game is over at that point. And we should have just been privileged to feeling like, I'm on the team. I got the playbook. I'm gonna listen for the voice of God and I'm gonna just respond to what he says. You have to understand this, that read the survival plan in the book of Revelation. This is a survival plan. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is what Paul writes under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Not those who are dragged, not those who are convinced, and those that have to be intellectually explained. The problem, I don't even know what's going to happen to that. I'm just tasting salt, just thinking about it. Anyway, so listen, America, if you got salt on your lips right now, listen, church. I'm talking to the whole church in the world, all the way to South Korea. I'm talking to you. Listen, God wants us to move, just like when Lot and his wife and his family was moving out of the place that they are. And you may not move physically, but you need to move out of this place of mire and stuckness and this place of dead religion and this form of godliness and the sin and move into the abiding presence of God and never leave that. Never leave the abiding presence because he'll call the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that you're not going to have the guts to go if you don't even have the ear of the quarterback.
Mm.
You may have studied the playbook. You may teach the playbook. You may have classes on it. You may have, you know, CDs, downloads, tapes, books, whatever, about the playbook. But you know what? There's a lot of people who teach in universities. And I always would think, but have you ever practiced these business skills before? I know you know how to write a business plan to get a loan, but have you made payroll? You know what I'm saying? Have you knocked on the door to actually sell the product? You know, have you ever done it? And those are the people God uses. And if you want to be a person that God's using. We're going to be talking to you about some awesome things this week because God is, out of his mercies, is shouting. You're going to hear a clarion call on VFN radio. And I want you to prepare your heart. You say, Lord, I want to hear the sound that's about to come. I want to hear that sound of my spirit because I want to respond to it. I want to be a part of what you're doing, not because I just want to be a part of something. It's because I don't want to be a part of what Satan is doing on the earth. And I want to be a part of this end time harvest, what's about to come in on the face of the earth. This is a powerful move of God coming. And it is here now, but it's coming to America in a special way. And it's not religion. It's not somebody building their kingdom type stuff. And we got all those little kingdomette things going on. This is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the advancement of his spiritual army to be able to win soldiers, spiritual soldiers, in the kingdom of God. It's about our heart. And we want you to be a part of it. You're listening to VFN Radio.
Can public land be donated to a religious organization? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We teach the gospel to public school students through the Release Time Bible program.
Sure.
Our vision is to seek a camp to serve the community and these students. And we are talking with a borough council that is considering donating land to us, but there's a hang-up. They don't know if they can donate land to a religious organization.
There should be no difficulty there whatsoever. It's called an accommodation of religious practices. As long as the process is, and I'm sure it is with the borough or the township that you're involved in, that they've given other land to other organizations, the fact that it's a religious organization should not automatically disqualify it. You hang on the line here. We'll get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFN radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated. And it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh, yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering. And that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class.
Not information.
You know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed.
You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to vfntv.com and get the podcast today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John, where we're just talking about a clarion call that's going out, we're going to be talking to you about EZ-12 tomorrow. You got to hear it because it is a prophetic. We just walked out a prophetic happening over the past, I think, 5 years, probably about 5-6 years, something like that. And God has a lot of signs, you know, signs in the sky, signs in the earth, signs in us. But we're going to talk to you about that He made us a sign. He made us a sign to some and possibly to you. And it's a sign that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. But if, in fact, and you got to hear this, if, in fact, if we don't respond to the what He's saying, imagine a loving Father saying, listen, you know, I've had it with this. You need to respond. Then captivity is in our future. Wow. I mean, nobody thinks, I mean, how many criminals, for example, think that tomorrow they're going to be in captivity, they're going to be in jail? I mean, they didn't say, you know, I'm thinking about having a little cup of coffee today. I'm going to go visit my mother, my whoever, and I'm just going to go into jail tomorrow. You know, it's just a suddenly that happens, right?
Yeah.
And it happens, as we know from yesterday's program, it happens to people who love God when evil people take good people captive. But this is about a church, God's people, who this is the atrocity, just so you know. This is the atrocity because, you know, according to George Barna, which we say this all the time because we want it to become a part of you. 81% of the church is not reading the Bible. So you don't know. You don't know what it's saying. Anything that does, what are you talking about? Hush. Shh. I don't want to hear what you just heard on some. Listen. Shh. And then of the 19% that is reading the word, only 3% even care about what they're reading.
Right.
And so we're in a bad condition. And as you heard also yesterday, there was a man in Harlem,
Dietrich Bonhoeffer,
who actually realized, hey, there's some components missing here, like the cross and the blood and repentance and sin. And that's what's missing today. This is the atrocity. This is the atrocity that the Lord is upset with us about. We have done away with His words. We have said we don't want to hear your voice. We've turned to men's government instead of God's government. We said, the church has said, okay, this is what the word of God used to say, and then we took His word and we changed it. We just kind of restructured, this is what He really means, and we totally took away what He really meant. And it's a mess, which means What you're going to hear be hearing about in regards to Easy 12, and that this just remember that Easy 12, that repentance means knock all that stuff off. It means get into God's word. Get under. Listen, you just can't. I'm sorry. You know, I wish everybody was teaching from the word of God, but they're not. You've got to get with someone who is mm-hmm. teaching directly from the Bible, not a new Bible, not some. Oh. Anyway, so and you got to. And it's going to bear witness with your spirit, not your flesh. Your flesh not to go, you know, oh my, this is the happiest my flesh has ever been. I'm so glad I found God. That's a small g God, the one you found there. Mm-hmm. But when your spirit jumps and you're thinking, I know this is right. And even if your flesh cries out and says, ah, but if your spirit is like, this is right, then that's capital G God. That is the God who not only answers by fire, but he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And he is the way to God. And Jesus is the word of God. He says, a man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that the proceeding word of God. Well, Jesus is the proceeding word of God. He was with God before the foundations of the earth. He was with God when he said, you know, let's create man in our image. He was with God when they began to discuss what was happening at the Tower of Babel. You know, he was with God from outside of our time frame, and he's still with God today. And he became flesh. The word became flesh and lived amongst us. That's how powerful the word is. That's why the enemy and people who are twisted and seek to build their own kingdoms and their own stipends, their own treasure chests, that they twist that. And they want to darken Jesus. You know, but he says the light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. If you have a minister who is not preaching the word of God, or he's twisting it, he doesn't even comprehend it. He's then fallen into deception. And so, it's, you know, you can gently talk with him or her and begin to share with them. First, spend some time abiding with God. And I'm not calling you to rebuke a minister by no means, because you're going to suffer for it, even mm-hmm. at the fact they're in rebellion. That's not mm-hmm. your place. Mm-hmm. But just to find out if you're accurate, you could be wrong, and they could be right online what they're doing, and you just totally you missed it. Mm-hmm. But you find out when you begin to abide with God and hide his word in your heart and speak to God and let God speak to you, and you obey God and the timing of God. And with that, you know, you're going to begin to hear the voice of the Lord, and he'll begin to reveal things to you. And then go spend some time with that minister. And first of all, if they're not going to spend time with you, that's a good sign. You need to find somebody that you need to be close. Mm-hmm. You need to be close. You need, whether it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have tea every day, right. But you know, or a cup of coffee every day if you're American. But it definitely means you need to be able to have relationship. And begin to share what God's laid on your heart, because that's going to be anointed. You know, it's in love, sharing the truth in love. And they may be right on line. They go, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. You just totally misunderstood where I was going. Or they may say, you know, well, I think you're missing it. That's that old time holiness stuff. You know, God's doing a new thing. This is the dispensation of you can do anything you want to, which is a different definition of grace. And then you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? Or it could be you could be excommunicated, which could be the best thing that ever happened to you out of the organization. I know many people that have, you know, found the voice of the Lord and the power of God, and they went back to share it, like Joseph went back to share it with his brothers, and all of a sudden he's like sold into slavery. Mm-hmm. And others are kicked out. And understand that could be a very good thing, because you could be really mixed up trying to reconnect the old wineskin with the new wine, if the old move rejects you, as we talked about that before in the past. So I want to encourage you, listen, there is hope, but you're not going to be able. Insanity is to continue doing what you're doing thinking you're going to have different results. That's just insanity, right? It's the definition mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to require you to do what you've never done, to be who you'd never be, so God can do what he wants to do in your life. It's just going to require that. No matter where you are in this, what's about to come on the face of the earth and what is coming and what has come, is come, and is about to come on the face of the earth, you may think you're in a safe place, but there's no place safer than the will of God. And even if that means you're in a prison in Iran, you know, there's no place safer than that. And many people right now are trying to find a safe place and a safe situation, but you're not in the will of God. You're just trying to be your own God. And you haven't even consulted the Lord or sought the Lord like Saul didn't seek the Lord. And you need to be like David. Even if you have to run for your life like David, he was always in a safe place. Even if it was the cave of Adullam, he was in a safe place. And these are exciting days. I really believe the church is about to be free from captivity. But when the jail cell opens, when the gate swings wide, when God shows himself mighty, you're still going to have to walk out. And you're still going to have to walk out of the captivity. He's not going to throw you out. He's not going to drag you out. If he sets you free, for example, if all of a sudden the Lord says you're healed, but you stay in your wheelchair, you're going to have to walk out of the wheelchair. You got to get up. You got to do something, you know, and begin to walk it out. If he says that you know, you are able to do this and you've never done it before, you got to begin to act it out and begin to do it and see yourself that way. And when he says that he's pouring himself out in a third great awakening in America, then you have to begin to believe that and receive it and speak that and get in tune with God and what's taking place. And no, not everybody's going to be saved, but you can be. Don't be looking for the crowd. Listen, the crowd is what got destroyed in Sodom. You know, don't think about, I'm just trying to go with the crowd. Listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Don't worry about what other people are doing in context you getting right first. But if you'll go through that narrow gate, if you'll say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I'm gonna truly be obedient to you because of your empowerment by your Spirit, and I'm gonna be your disciple, and I'm gonna abide with you. And as I grow and mature in you, I'm going to tell others about you, and people, they too will leave the wide road and they'll begin to come to the narrow place. But you cannot go the wide way and expect to win the wide way.
Right.
The only help you're going to be for them is if you are actually in the right place. There was a book years ago called Balcony People, and Balcony People is a really good book. It was a small book. And I didn't like the cover. It was like some frilly looking cover. I was like, oh my goodness. Obviously, you want men to read this book. And but it talks about there's three type of people. There's basement people, there's main floor people, and then there's balcony people. And you have most of the people who are on the main floor. And then you have basement people that try to pull these people that are on the main floor down to the basement. Listen, it never works. It's never worked. It's not going to happen. God's not going to move. He's already moved already. There's not any miracles anymore. God doesn't, you know, all whatever. And this is, you know, my analogy of it. And then there's balcony people that says, you know, want to think like Dowie and Mariah Eder and Amy Simple McPherson and Oral Roberts and Franklin Graham and Billy Graham and so many others that are gone, that are still, and some that are gone before us, that are saying, listen, I'm not going to go where you're at because I've been there, but I will stay out here and I will hold my hand out to you to my last dying breath. I'm not going to walk in the darkness, but I'm telling you, I will tell you and tell you and tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. I will reach out my hand. I'm not going to leave my relationship with Jesus to make you feel better. But I will hold my hand out to you all day long. And the second that you stick your hand out, even if snatch it, like snatching you from a brand from the fire, I will pull you up to the balcony. I'll pull you up to the place in God and begin to teach you his ways so you too can be in the family of God. Listen, there's basement people. Most people are on the main floor, if you would, the analogy. And then you have balcony people. If you want to reach people for God and you're walking with the Lord, don't leave your relationship with the Lord to go and be amongst those that are walking the wide way. It's narrow. There's no other way but narrow. But listen, there's a lot of people who will go if you will stay there and hold your hand out and tell them the truth. You listen to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
For Christians, heaven is our ultimate eternal destination. But often, we don't live our earthly lives in ways that reflect that truth. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. And perhaps we don't really understand eternity. With some answers, here's Randy Alcorn.
We're here for a short period of time. Where are we going to spend forever? If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's going to be with God in His very presence and with God's people. What is that world going to be like? You'd think that we'd be careful students, that we'd be motivated to really get into it. It's not just that it will bring more joy into our lives, it's also that it will help us follow Christ in a more deep and personal way.
Hear more from Randy Alcorn about a biblical perspective on heaven and our earthly lives at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do it on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it, you know, it seems totally impossible, but it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old, and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamie, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow Him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what would we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following Him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jubian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately. It is amazing how
this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about a shift that's taking place. A shift that's taking place. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Easy 12. Easy 12. It's going to be a very, I think it's just going to just land in your heart. It's going to totally make sense. And it requires a response to us, from us, to God. And just the same way the analogy we're talking about the first hour. But this shift in the earth, it was like a, I just want to tell you that this is when it began in my spirit. It began in my spirit on April the 10th. April the 10th is when it began in my spirit, where God literally pulled me into a vision. I was just there. I was there. But obviously my body still was where it was, but I was in this experience. And all of a sudden this huge explosion took place. It's like big shot being fired. And it was so loud, I just jumped because it was real. It was like I was living in it. I wasn't like watching some movie. Some people say you look at something and you're looking at a movie or something like that. No, I was there. And it just exploded. Explosion took place. And then I started looking around. Obviously, I'm looking around to see what got hit. Something got hit. And then I just stopped and I looked down to see what maybe I was hit. And that's how real it was.
Mm-hmm.
Five days later, there was a shot, an explosion that was heard around the world. There's a statement about America in our history books that says the shot that was heard around the world. It was the first shot that was fired in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened on April the 15th, and I don't know anything about anything. I just know in my spirit what God has shown me 5 days prior that this was going to take place. I didn't know such it was horrific. And you can go back and listen to my response to that. It was just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spirit realm, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, that there was a shift that took place. And it was like things are going this way, and it was going to work out, and these things are going to happen, this was going to go. And because we didn't respond or whatever, all of a sudden there was this big shift that took place on April 15th. And the interesting thing is that it happened in Boston. And when I think about King George and, you know, original Americans were saying that we're just tired of, you know, 27 different reasons why they were upset about not getting representative government, that they were sending all this tax money over to England, and soldiers would just come in and barge into the houses.
The
yeah, without, they could just take your papers, they could take your, I mean, just all this stuff was going on. And they could, no matter what they did in regards to setting up local laws in the New England area, the king would just, oh, well, it would just didn't pay attention and just undid them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that, they had like the Boston Tea Party. And the Boston Tea Party was about, based on history, was an act of saying that it's over in regards to how this present government is doing things. The government in England was doing things because they were saying, we're not going to pay all this taxes on the tea that was coming in. But it wasn't just that, but it was so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, you begin to ponder, you're thinking, you know, a lot of times people have their own motives and they're the evil motives and all these different things, but they don't realize they're being used as a puppet. They're being used by, you know, Satan to do his stuff. But in my spirit, though, 5 days prior to it happening, you know, I just felt the shift in the beginning of what was going to be defined as a shift that was going to take place, you know, in America. And I just want to say to you as the church that we need to wake up and realize that that America's government reflects us, the people. It is not the government ruling over us like King George. In America, the people are the one who chooses their leaders.
Right.
So the issue here is not Washington, D.C. The issue here is you and me.
Right.
It's us. We're the ones that vote people in office or don't reelect them and that type of thing, or what, for whatever our values are. And you can't, we can't, it's in regards to the church, in regards to the church, that we, there's no hope for America if the church does not repent and get our hearts right with God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't hear last Wednesday, convergence, a prophetic word, you need to hear it. It was almost, it's the entire first and extra hour were dedicated to a peripheral understanding of what we're talking about here. But the shift of that took place in such a way that we just entered into the season that hold on, hold tight, get right, and get into obedience. Listen, God, Jesus didn't give us the great suggestion. He said he gave us the great commandment and the great commission, which is to, first, the commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, the commission is to go into all the world and to tell people about him and preach the good news to them. They'll be saved. And so it's time for us. It is time for us as Americans in the church in America to repent, to get back to the original intent of God, to humble ourselves, and begin to pray and seek God's face, abide with him, and to begin to aggressively go and preach the gospel and win people, and realize that the present-day religious structure may fight against you, but listen, that's what's holding a lot of people captive today. I mean, we want it to change, but we don't have time to have that kind of conversation. We can lay that on a couch later on and have a psychological discussion with it and theorize why it's your daddy's fault. But anyway, so, but right now, we have a limited amount of time, to be able to hopefully be like Paul Revere and say, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming if we don't turn, as Rick Joyner just prophesied, then America will burn. And what does that look like? It looks like financial collapse. The economy as we know it all of a sudden shifts to some digital, and all of a sudden we're no longer have this kind of economic power. Our military as we speak is being dismantled. No, it's not no man's idea. God is allowing men's ideas to be able to do this, but he's dismantling, he's humbling us. And it is rebellion running rampant. It is the Guy Fawkes concept of doing bad things throughout the land. And it is, as I was speaking just recently to law enforcement, that they couldn't even qualify. They only shot 40 bullets at the range to qualify, because there's not enough bullets for officers, because the government has bought all the bullets up. So they could not, and you know, they who would need to be armed? Wouldn't it be the law enforcement officers who work under the Constitution, or officers that we put in office? Listen, we're being set up, but let me tell you this: it's time for us to be like Paul Revere, but we don't say the British are coming. We need to say that the judgment is coming, that the judgment is coming, the judgment is coming, unless we turn. But if we turn, our God will restore our former glory. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.